Western politicians frequently talk about the vague concept of the rules-based international order, and they claim that they are supporting the will of the international community. However, when you look at votes at the United Nations, you can clearly see that it's actually the West that votes against the rest of the world. Quantitative research by scholars shows that the US is a massive outlier, frequently voting against the entire world in the UN General Assembly, and the West in general, the US, Canada, Europe, and a few outliers vote together as a bloc, whereas much of the global South, representing the global majority, votes together. And China, by the way, votes along with the international majority. There are so many examples of this pattern of the West versus the rest repeating itself again and again and again in the UN. Today, I'm going to be looking at a meeting that was held of the UN Human Rights Council on April 3rd. A vote was held on unilateral coercive measures, which is the official legal term for sanctions, and how they violate human rights. And in this vote in the UN Human Rights Council, it was once again the West that voted against the rest of the world. I made a map that shows this vote. Now, to be clear, this is the UN Human Rights Council, not the General Assembly. In the General Assembly, every country, all 193 member states, has a voice. However, the UN Human Rights Council only has 47 members. And of those, in this vote on April 3rd, 32 countries voted in support of this resolution condemning sanctions for violating human rights. 14 countries voted against it, and one abstained. And there's a very clear pattern. The US and European allies and Japan, the collective West, voted against this resolution that is in support of unilateral sanctions, whereas the Global South nations on the Council all voted together as a bloc against sanctions in support of this resolution. There was only one outlier, which is Argentina, which is currently governed by a far-right leader, Javier Milei, who's extremely pro-US, and he essentially considers Argentina to be part of the imperialist West and does not want to be allied with the majority of the global population in the global South. Now, this vote in 2024 was very similar to a vote on essentially the same resolution in the UN Human Rights Council back in 2023, where once again, the global South voted together with 33 votes against the West, which voted together with 13 votes. That is to say, the Global South opposed sanctions for violating human rights, whereas Western countries supported these unilateral illegal sanctions that violate human rights. And there are so many other examples of the West voting against the rest of the world like this. In November, there was a vote in the UN General Assembly, that is including all 193 UN member states. And in that case, once again, you can see that the West voted against the rest of the world. 128 countries representing the vast majority of the world population voted to condemn unilateral sanctions, whereas the collective West, the global North, that is North America, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, and South Korea, were the only countries that voted in support of illegal sanctions. And there are very similar vote patterns on other resolutions, including back in November, there was a General Assembly vote in order to respect human rights and cultural diversity. Once again, it was the West against the rest of the world. There was another General Assembly vote that called for equitable geographical distribution in the membership of the human rights treaty bodies. Once again, the West against the rest of the world. There was another vote in November in the General Assembly that condemned the use of mercenaries for violating human rights. Once again, it was the West against the rest of the world. There was a General Assembly resolution that called for the promotion of a democratic and equitable international order. The West against the rest of the world. And back in October, there was a resolution in the General Assembly that called for a humanitarian truce in Gaza. And again, it was the West against the rest of the world. Although what was interesting about this vote is Overall, the vast majority of the Global South supported this call for a humanitarian truce in Gaza. But there were a few outliers, including India, which has a far-right anti-Muslim government, which is very pro-Israel. And in Europe, there are actually a few outliers. There were a few countries in Western Europe that supported this resolution. But once again, you can see very clearly, despite the few outliers, there is a general trend of the West voting together as a bloc of colonialist nations against the formerly colonized nations of the Global South repeatedly in the United Nations. Now, I want to go back to the resolution in the UN Human Rights Council that was voted on April 3rd, in which the developing countries in the Global South voted to condemn sanctions, whereas the Western colonial powers voted in support of sanctions. Now, one of the reasons that the vote looked like this is because the resolution condemning unilateral coercive measures was supported by the Non-Aligned Movement. The Non-Aligned Movement was created during the first Cold War, when formerly colonized nations in the Global South finally achieved independence from colonialism, and they did not want to participate in the Cold War. They did not want to join a bloc. They simply wanted to develop economically to lift their populations out of poverty. And throughout time, the Non-Aligned Movement has expanded. And after the end of the first Cold War in 1991, numerous observer states joined, and today there are 120 member states of the Non-Aligned Movement and 20 observer states. That is 140 countries out of the 193 UN member states are part of the Non-Aligned Movement, and this includes the vast majority of the world population. And essentially, it is the Global South plus Russia and a few Eastern European nations. And at the United Nations, they tend to vote together, whereas the Western colonial powers, that is North America, Western Europe, Japan, these are the colonialist nations that developed through colonialism, war, and slavery. They tend to vote together as part of the so-called collective West. And Australia, which was founded as a British settler colony, is also part of the collective West, also known as the Global North. And this year, 2024, the chair of the Non-Aligned Movement is Uganda. And the Ugandan representative spoke in this meeting of the UN Human Rights Council, explaining why the Global South opposes the West's unilateral imposition of sanctions.
The resolution is sponsored by the 120 member states of the NAM and co-sponsored by the Russian Federation and the State of Palestine. Mr. President, despite our divergent views on this matter, we should at least acknowledge the unilateral coercive measures in the form of economic sanctions and secondary sanctions have far-reaching implications on the enjoyment of human rights by the general population of targeted states, disproportionately affecting the poor and persons in the most vulnerable situations. It is well established that the poorest of persons in the vulnerable situations in the least developed and developing countries are the most affected by the impact of unilateral coercive measures often imposed by developed countries. And in this context, this resolution condemns this inhuman approach. We believe that under no circumstances should people be deprived of their basic means of survival or access to critical infrastructure, services, and goods under the pretext of unilateral coercion by another state that is economically powerful. The Human Rights Council should denounce this unfortunate practice loudly and clearly. Unilateral coercive measures and legislation and secondary sanctions are contrary to international law, international humanitarian law, international human rights law, the UN Charter, and the norms and principles governing peaceful relations among states.
I want to read here briefly from the official website of the United Nations, and this is the summary they published of the UN Human Rights Council meeting on April 3rd. It noted that this resolution on the negative impact of unilateral coercive measures on the enjoyment of human rights, also known as economic sanctions, quote, have far-reaching implications for the human rights of the general population of targeted states, disproportionately affecting the poor and persons in the most vulnerable situations. It calls for the special rapporteur on sanctions, that is the top expert, to continue her work, and she has repeatedly shown in her reports that sanctions violate human rights. And this resolution also called for the removal of unilateral coercive measures affecting the enjoyment of human rights of victims and on the human rights impact of secondary sanctions and overcompliance. This is very important because sanctions not only affect the directly targeted countries, but also sanctions lead to secondary sanctions. That is, the U.S. threatens sanctions on countries that do business with targeted countries, like, for instance, foreign countries and foreign companies that want to trade with Venezuela or Iran or Cuba or Syria. They often face secondary sanctions, and this leads to overcompliance, meaning that foreign countries and foreign companies simply decide not to trade with Cuba, not to trade with Venezuela or Iran or the DPRK. And what this means is that these countries suffer economically from economic embargoes, blockades. No banks want to process their international transactions. They're kicked out of the international financial system, which is dominated by U.S. banks and the U.S. dollar. It makes it very hard for these countries to import medicine and food and machines and capital goods and technologies that they need to have a well-functioning modern economy. So this resolution emphasizes how sanctions are illegal. They violate human rights, they devastate the economies of targeted countries, and they have secondary impacts on other countries because of overcompliance and secondary sanctions. Now, also in this meeting of the UN Human Rights Council on April 3rd, there was a vote on a resolution that was titled "The Effects of Foreign Debt and Other Related International Financial Obligations of States on the Full Enjoyment of All Human Rights, Particularly Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights." This resolution called for debt relief to help to take urgent measures to alleviate the debt problems and to address the debt sustainability of developing countries. So this resolution acknowledged that many poor, formerly colonized countries in the Global South are suffering under very high debt burdens. Much of this debt is owed to Western-dominated institutions like the International Monetary Fund, or it's owed to asset managers and vulture funds on Wall Street who are profiting from this debt. And once again in this vote, we saw that it was the West against the rest of the world. It was the vast majority of the Global South calling for the debt relief of Global South nations, including China. There's all this ridiculous Western propaganda about so-called Chinese debt traps. Well, at the UN Human Rights Council, China is calling for debt relief for the Global South. But the United States and Europe are opposing calls for debt relief of the Global South. It was 31 countries in support, 31 out of the 47 countries on the council, and it was 12 countries against, that is the West, and in this case, there were four countries that abstained. Argentina, which has the far-right Milei government, also Belgium, Luxembourg, and Morocco. Morocco has a pro-Western monarchy. But excluding those outliers, we can see very clearly that China and the Global South want debt relief for poor developing countries, whereas the imperialist nations who colonized the Global South, they do not want debt relief for the countries they previously colonized. And we see the same neocolonial pattern reflected today in the Western application of illegal unilateral sanctions. If you look at a map of countries that have been targeted by sanctions, you can see that the vast majority are in the Global South plus Russia. Today, there are more than 60 countries that have been unilaterally sanctioned by the United States, and the EU has sanctioned nearly 30, and the UN has only sanctioned around 15, just one quarter of the US sanctions. So the vast majority of Western sanctions are illegal because they are unilateral. They do not have the support of the United Nations. And you can see clearly that in the 2000s and 2010s, the Western application of unilateral sanctions drastically increased. This is economic war. It has become one of the main forms of war waged by the Western powers. This chart shows the number of new sanction designations done by US president, and also looking at delistings, which is delistings is the orange bar, and then the designations are the blue bars. And you can see very clearly that there's been a marked increase, especially under Trump and Biden. Trump drastically increased the number of illegal unilateral sanctions on Cuba and Iran after Trump unilaterally withdrew from the Iran nuclear deal against international law. And Biden has drastically increased the application of sanctions on Russia. And Biden has not lifted the illegal sanctions that Trump put on Cuba. And Biden also has not lifted the illegal sanctions that Trump put on Iran in violation of the nuclear deal. So you can see that this is very bipartisan. Both Republicans and Democrats support this illegal economic war. So today we're in a situation in which more than one quarter of the world population and one third of global GDP consists of countries that are targeted by illegal unilateral sanctions by the Western powers. And anytime there's a vote in the United Nations General Assembly or in the UN Human Rights Council condemning these sanctions, the West votes against the rest of the world. However, despite the fact that unilateral coercive measures are against international law, there are no consequences for the US and Europe. Why? Because they block any resolution in the Security Council that would actually have teeth, that could actually take concrete action against the West for violating international law, because the US, the UK, and France have veto power because they have permanent seats on the Security Council. So the international system is set up in a way in which the Western colonial powers can prevent any action against them for violating international law. This is the reality of the so-called rules-based international order, in which the Western powers that colonize the world make the rules and order everyone around. And if any country goes against the unilateral actions of the West, they're called a rogue state or authoritarian or whatever the ridiculous propaganda buzzword is this week. But in reality, if you have a neutral perspective and you look scientifically at the actual international community at the United Nations, you can see that it is the West against the rest of the world. It is the West against the international community or the global majority. The West only represents around 13 or 14% of the world population, and yet they act as though the 86% of the world population in the global South, the global majority, should simply obey their orders. And it shows that despite the fact that the Western colonial powers no longer formally colonize much of the world like they did in the 19th and early 20th centuries, still today, they treat the rest of the world as their unofficial colonies. This is the neo-colonial system that we live in today. And here at Geopolitical Economy Report, I dedicate a lot of my time to help people understand the economics and geopolitics of this neo-colonial order. I'm Ben Norton, the editor-in-chief of Geopolitical Economy Report. I want to thank everyone for joining me today. Please like and subscribe to help to promote this in the algorithm, and I will see you all very soon. Thanks a lot for joining me.